shot. He scores! And the Ballers win! Helena is no longer undefeated!
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Barons win! Barons win!
Cody Jansen stopped 92 out of 95 shots, including a penalty shot in overtime. Somehow he still only wound up the third star of the game.
You like that?
Jansen has a heart.
Y'all smoked it crack!
What's happening, world? It's October 14th. Cody Jansen, Oilers win to start the season. That's going to feel good. If you're in oil country, 3-2 shootout win. We'll break that all down later on in the show. Kyle Turris with the game winner. TNT made their debut. We'll break that all down with Steve Lansky in about 15 seconds. And yes, we got to talk about the Panthers down in Florida. Jameson Olive's going to jump on here in about 17 minutes to talk about the Panthers. Barkov's new deal. Maybe even some of the goaltending down there. If my Spencer Knight for Calder pick is going to pan out. You guys already know, though, it's World Hockey Report, presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts, the official auto parts retailer of Hockey Canada and Team Canada. If you're going to the rink, Lord Co.'s going to make sure you got everything you need for a smooth ride. From bright white headlight replacement bulbs for increased visibility during early morning or late night commutes to battery maintainers. They're going to make sure your vehicle starts when the temperature drops. Visit a Lord Co. Auto Parts location today for knowledgeable service, quality parts, and accessories. Visit LordCo.com to find a store near you. We welcome on the one and only Big Mouth Sports. It's Steve Lansky joining the show again. He's been on before. You know him. You've heard him. You love him. And hey, we got to talk TV because TNT and ESPN, they break onto the scene. Sportsnet's got to change up a few things. I'm curious, Steve, what games have you watched so far this season?
I've watched a bit of every game, Cody. I didn't watch the TNT game last night, but I always try to watch a bit of every game, you know, just to get some intel, just to see how it looks to start the season because, you know, as you know, Cody, no network would be doing its job if it didn't change things, especially things that didn't even need changing, right?
Well, the scoreboard on Sportsnet kind of threw me off. I don't know if I like that change or not. I'll give it a week to decide on that. But one of the main things, I think, is the staffing changes. And you know, as much as anyone, that can make or break a broadcast. And so what I saw from Charles Barkley, Wayne Gretzky, Paul Bissonnette, all those guys on TNT, was they were having fun. That's something that other networks haven't been able to get out of them because I feel like they were so sheltered or they were so, you know, they had the umbrella on them. They couldn't really shine. They weren't not muzzled completely, but I want to know your thoughts on that. If you think that the American networks and especially one like TNT that's been so outgoing with the NBA is going to change the way we watch hockey broadcasts now.
Well, they are in that sense, Cody, because the big three networks in the United States, I don't put Fox in the big three. The big three are always going to be conservative. They're always going to be very staid in what they can and can't do because they've been around for, you know, for the sake of argument, 70 plus years, and they are beholden to sponsors like nobody's business and to the viewers. Well, it's a little more lax for a TNT or a CNN or a Fox or maybe not those staid networks, but it all comes down from the top. If you have people at the top saying, hey, we want to have fun, and I still think, and I'm always going to think, Cody, that Fox NFL Sunday is going to be the benchmark for a studio. It just is. They have fun, and one day I'm going to count how many tidbits of information they disseminate in that hour because it is unbelievable. And I think that comes when you're having fun and you just talk and you just enjoy each other and things just come out when they come out. And I think if TNT and ESPN can get there, I think it'll be a lot better for everyone because fun equals entertainment. And really, that's all we're doing here.
When you look at ESPN's lineup and they've brought in Kevin Weeks, Ray Ferraro, some great names in hockey media, does that spell out fun to you just because they're the big names? Or does that spell out they're trying to be the most informative? They're trying to be the insiders of the NHL. They're trying to not compete exactly with Elliot Friedman, Chris Johnson, those guys. But does that kind of spell out ESPN wants to dig way deeper into the NHL instead of the fun aspect?
To be honest with you, the first thing it spells out to me is if we hire a name, people will watch. And I guarantee that's the discussion they have in the meeting. So let's say you bring in Wayne Gretzky, or let's say you bring in Mark Messier, or let's say you bring in Kevin Weeks. Well, to me, if I'm in an executive producer chair, I think, well, that's great. We're going to get X number of viewers because of this guy's name. But if we talk about Fox NFL Sunday, if Terry Bradshaw and Michael Strahan and Howie Long and Jimmy Johnson can't talk and do what they have to do on that set, to me, that's a waste of time. And I got to be honest with you, over the years, I've seen a lot of people brought in for their names. Bobby Orr and Bobby Hull on Hockey Night in Canada are two of them, and they could not do anything related to broadcasting, yet they were brought into the show. So that's never going to change. I think those guys who are brought in, can Wayne Gretzky be entertaining? I got to be honest, I'm not sold yet.
He had one good performance to start it off. But again, there's, what, 30, I think? I think he's scheduled in for 30 or 35 broadcasts, I heard. So there is still a long way to go, and I think we can make that fair decision at the end of the season. Steve Lansky, my guest on World Hockey Report. Join the conversation anytime on 12 Ounce Sports, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch. So moving along now with Sportsnet, obviously they made some changes as well to their panel, and I guess we'll see what Hockey Night really shows on Saturday with any major changes that they decide to make. But are they now, I know we only have them as the real option in Canada, but are they kind of the third fiddle, Steve? Are they now trailing TNT and ESPN based on the stature of their personalities?
Oh, that's a great question, man. It's possible. Yes, it's possible they are. But don't forget, viewer in the United States, I'm not going to use the term dumbed down because I don't think that's the right term. But I think they're going to get a different product than you're going to get in Canada. Because and I even noticed it on the stats that they display during the game, Cody. And on TNT games and ESPN games, their stats are really basic. They're not giving you time on ice. They're not giving you lengths of shifts in the big roll down drop menus. We're going to get that in Canada because we're looking for something different. So it's not like you're comparing apples and oranges, but I do think you're comparing two different kinds of apples. And I think it's really tough to equate Sportsnet or a Canadian broadcast, say Hockey Night in Canada, with an American broadcast. I don't think it's ever going to be the same. You know, it's a lot like comparing an American football broadcast to a Canadian football broadcast. They're just different things. American football broadcasts bring much more and much more intense information and stats as the game goes along. Canada's a little simpler that way. Well, I think it's the opposite with hockey. Canada's always going to be more complex. That's a good way to say it. When we're delivering our hockey coverage. And I think Sportsnet is always going to have that, or whatever the Canadian national broadcaster is at the time.
Understandable. And on a whole, yes, Sportsnet's definitely going to have more viewership. I think ESPN, and this was per the stats, I think Vegas and Seattle was the most watched opening night game in the late slot and the second most watched 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time game or later in the regular season. And I believe it was around 800K or a million at peak or something like that for viewership. So awesome to see that that viewership's up and it is one of the most watched, but still, I don't think those numbers really compare to a Hockey Night in Canada game on a Saturday in Canada. Now we got to ask Rod Black. He calls it a career. I don't know if we've got official wording on where he's off to or why the change was made, but it sounds like as of today, he's done with TSN, CTV and stuff. Now you've seen him for enough time, Steve, and I believe you worked with him as well. What does Rod Black mean to broadcasting in Canada? Because he's done so many different events. And the word that just comes to mind is he's a variety broadcaster. He can do a little bit of everything.
Rod's a jack of all trades is exactly what he is. And I've known Rod Black. I can't believe I'm thinking about this. So CKND had the local rights in Winnipeg for a long time. And then they went to CKY and Rod Black was their host. And Rod Black was really irreverent as the host of CKY Jets hockey. People would watch him now and go, Rod Black's not an irreverent guy. He's not now, but he was then. When he went to the network, way back when, I don't know what year he went to CTV to start, he was kind of sanitized and kind of made to not be as, you know, crazy and zany as he was. And then he became a guy who could call anything. He could call a hockey game. He could call a football game because at CKY, and he was the host. He didn't even call the games. Kurt Kielbeck was the play-by-play guy. And Bruce Hood was his color man at the time when I worked with them. So Rod is a very versatile broadcaster. There's really no other way to say it. Now, would you like to be in a niche or would you like to be versatile? Well, if you want to do a lot of things, versatile is it. And Rod became that. And he gets my full compliment for that because that's not really what he was when he started, but he became that.
That's awesome. That's just great recollection of him. Steve Lansky, my guest on World Hockey Report. Hey, I got one more for you, and it's regarding the Oilers. You know, we're up here in Edmonton. Is there anything you would like to see change? And maybe you don't get to watch the regional broadcasts as much, but obviously seeing a lot of these former players being brought up for regional broadcasts like the Oilers, is there something in specific you want to see changed on the TV? Is it something as simple as having a better localized panel? Getting former players more involved, having different, I don't even know, just aspects to the broadcast. Is there a way that you think that localized broadcasts like the Oilers can improve in a quick stride?
You know, you kind of said it without using the word that I'm going to use, Cody. And to me, the word is creativity. And I think what I find in TV production today is people get lazy. And I don't mean lazy physically. I mean lazy, they stop thinking. What can we do here? What can we do to make this show different than the last 17 shows that we've produced? How can we mix it up? How can we change it? What can we add to the show? What can we take away? I find they don't think of that anymore. Who can we bring in? Who's interesting? Who could be in for a segment that would, you know, turn on the viewers and give us something new to see? That, in a nutshell, is what I'd like to see. Just a different component, but the thinking that goes into the components, that's the key.
So you bring up creativity, and now this gets my brain going because obviously I work in radio too, and I love watching TV for hockey broadcasts. Do you think that radio broadcasters, and especially the hosts, I'm not talking about the play-by-play or analyst, stuff like that, do you think they work harder on their product to make sure that they're promoting it more than NHL? Because one of my issues with the NHL is that I have no clue who's going to be on in the intermissions or pregame, postgame, until I'm actually tuned in. I don't see this on social media. I don't see them promoting, hey, we've got Kevin Lowe on the broadcast pregame. That's why you want to tune in, Cody. I don't see much of that versus the radio broadcast. I feel that, and shout out to a guy like Reed Wilkins, I feel like they go above and beyond to promote who is going to be on there.
That's a good point. I think radio people take ownership of what they're doing a little bit more. I think television, again, with the slash lazy, would mean that we have to think in advance, and then we have to promote it in advance. And I'm not sure we were, you know, everybody was trained to think that way. I think there might be a bit of the seat of their pants, and there might be a lot of, we're married to this every intermission and every pregame and every postgame. This is what we do every show. So, you know, we have to have this person on, or we have to have these people on. Well, I'm not sure you do. But then what happens is, Cody, that you don't get in radio, I don't think, is now you're going to get pressure. Oh, so-and-so wasn't on. Well, we're paying him. He's got to be on every week. They've got to be on in this segment. And now it becomes political, which is, of course, my favorite aspect of the media is the political part. So once that happens, all bets are off and you're going to get what you're going to get.
You hit the nail on the head as usual, Steve. Thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on. Always just a ton of insight, especially in the media landscape. You're the best, Steve. Thank you again.
My pleasure, Cody. Thank you.
Steve Lansky right there. Big Mouth Sports. You can find him on Twitter. I think he's got the Inside the Truck podcast still going. I should have checked with him. I should have asked to promote that. I'm the worst. He had a great podcast going with Paul Hemming, I do believe, out of Carolina, the Eastern States there at least. But Steve Lansky, always just a bundle of insight when it comes to media. And you know, I'm a media bug. If you got any thoughts, though, TNT, ESPN, Sportsnet, join the conversation. Get your comments up there on screen right now, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, wherever you are. I'll go check the devices in the commercial and see if we got any comments that are lingering and hiding around. Maybe we'll check the text line. Dive into some of your thoughts. But again, the main story, last night, the Oilers pick up a win. 3-2 in a shootout. We're going to dive into that at about 12:40, maybe take some calls, maybe get some thoughts, some insight. Mike Smith, how do you think he played? Kyle Turris, was it shocking? It's got to be shocking. I mean, the guy scores the shootout winner. Should be the game-winning goal, by the way. That it's just insane how that doesn't count. I love how international hockey does it. Mike Smith, though, again, two goals, one he wants back. The second one he wants back. That's a bad goal for an NHL goaltender to give up. But for Vancouver, both their goals come from the point. You got OEL with one, you got Quinn Hughes with the other. I feel like that team is, I mean, they're a live and die with their defense, obviously. But without Thatcher Demko making some massive saves in overtime, and he had a .941 save percentage, stopped 32 out of 34. Without him, oof. They are in trouble. And I'm the one that wrote Demko off from the Olympic team. I still think Spencer Knight's a little bit better than him. But we're going to discuss that with our next guest, Jameson Olms. He's going to come up, Florida Panthers writer, podcaster, gamer as well. I'm interested in the esports side of things. If maybe that's one thing where they're able to engage their fans a little bit differently, where I don't know if the Edmonton Oilers could get involved with that. I think Zach Hyman's involved with it, maybe. I'm not exactly sure what the Oilers' involvement is in the esports world, but I feel like it probably could pop off. There's certain ones I'm sure our social media manager Eric could chime in as well with the future of esports and what Alberta teams like Edmonton and Calgary are doing. There's definitely a market for it. Hey, we're talking about putting on esports tournaments for World Hockey Report. We'll do cash tournaments. Hey, we'll find a sponsor. We'll chuck up a grand, do a big cash tournament. Got to be streamed. We got to be able to promote it. And I'm open to it. I think there is a market for it. But again, you guys let me know. I'm open to doing some creative stuff there. And Eric and Bryce have been awesome in putting this all together. I'm sure Adam will chime in. He's a big gamer. I'm not sure if the lady's going to let him do that, though. Hey, we are going to take a commercial break here. We'll dive into it with Jameson Olive after. We'll talk Florida Panthers. I'm interested in his thoughts on Reinhart. Does he move the needle? Is he the depth that they need to get over the hump, to beat a team like Tampa in playoffs? Or is it just having Ekblad back? Would think he would have won if they had Ekblad back last season? They got a healthy team. It's interesting. We'll hear from Jameson Olive after the break. Oh, Eric chimes in. Florida does really good with it. They've got the Florida Panthers gaming. They sponsor teams. Columbus Blue Jackets and Tampa Bay Lightning routinely host tournaments as well. There you go. Florida, Columbus, Tampa. It's all kind of, I mean, Columbus, Ohio, but the other teams, Florida, Tampa, they're southern teams. Maybe there's a market for it there that we don't have in Alberta. I'm interested. I'm interested to find out. And hey, if the Oilers aren't doing it, you know World Hockey's going to. That's where we're headed off to, though. Commercial break. We'll head down to Florida after that. It's Cody Jansen, World Hockey Report, presented by Lord Coe Auto Parts. As well, don't forget, if you miss any of the interviews, including Steve Lansky, download the podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network and DraftKings promo code THPN. Sign up, get yourself some free money. Cody Jansen, we'll talk to you after the break.
World Hockey Report is partnering with Sports Travel Tours to bring you some incredible trips to watch hockey around the world. Sports Travel Tours has been creating hockey trips and tours since 1998. They've sent customers to the Winter Olympics, World Championships, every team in the NHL, as well as the KHL in Russia. And now, for the first time, they've been appointed official tour supplier to the Spengler Cup in Switzerland. As you all know, the Spengler Cup is the world's oldest invitational hockey tournament, set in the stunning mountains of Davos. It's also the best way to spend the time in between Christmas and New Year's. So, cheer on Team Canada in Davos this year with Sports Travel Tours exclusive packages. For information and to book, go to sportstraveltours.com. That's sportstraveltours.com and sign up to get exclusive discounts and trip priority.
Another week of the NFL season means another shot to win big at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. The last 0-0 tie in the NFL was in 1943, so I would say this is a big no-brainer. If the Sportsbook isn't in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN to throw down $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's promo code THPN this week at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older. New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings. .com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What we do here is go back.
you like that Steve Lansky interview? Well, if you missed it, go download it on the Hockey Podcast Network as well. I still want to know your thoughts. Join the conversation. Let us know. TNT, ESPN, Sportsnet, who's your favorite? Maybe rank the three and throw those in the conversation. It's World Hockey Report, presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Visit Lordco's in-store truck centers at select locations. I'm telling you, if you go to Lordco, you are not going to be disappointed. The absolute best. As we snap it down south, let's go to the great state of Florida and join digital content manager Jameson Olive, who's also the beat writer for the Florida Panthers, on the line. Jameson, how's it going?
It's going great. You know, we got opening night coming up here in a couple hours. The building's buzzing. The city's buzzing. So, you know, we waited a long time for this, especially coming off, you know, a great season last year. The hype is, you know, through the roof. So players, fans, everyone's waited a long time for this, and we're excited to get going.
Is there a lot of excitement around the Barkov deal? Obviously, that was big. It broke hockey Twitter for a day. I think that it's a great deal for Florida and the player. But from a fan's perspective, do they understand how big it is to lock up a superstar like that for 8 years?
They do, especially the fans that have been here a long time. I mean, for a lot of years here in Florida, dating back, you know, decades, it always seemed like if a player got too good, you almost had to get ready to say goodbye to him because you knew the team probably couldn't afford to, you know, bring him back, pay, you know, that superstar money. But that just hasn't been the case since, you know, Vince Viola and Doug Cifu purchased the team. You know, they've opened their wallets. And now if a player, you know, has a career like Barkov's had, it's a guy that can stay here. And, you know, you look at the deal, everyone's obviously very excited. Fans are excited. Bill Zito, Panthers general manager, said, you know, this really sends a message to fans, you know, players, the rest of the league that, you know, what is the destination? Because Barkov was going to be a UFA this summer. You know, 31 other teams in the league would have paid probably any amount to get him on their team. But he said, you know what? You know, I like this money. I like this team. I want to stay here. I think I can win here. Because first and foremost, Alexander Barkov's a competitor. He hates losing. He loves to win. He wants to win the Stanley Cup more than anything. So it sent a lot of different messages, a lot of different places. But obviously, overall, just the overarching excitement is, you know, all across, you know, South Florida and the hockey world.
How much are they able to market him down there? Now, that's an interesting question, as it's completely loaded where up in Edmonton, right, you got Connor McDavid, you got Darnell Nurse. They're on TV commercials. They're on radio commercials. They're doing advertisements, stuff like that. Does the media around there market the Panthers for guys like Barkov, Ekblad? You know, are they getting extra exposure, or is that mostly saved for the big sports, your football, your basketball?
It's definitely on the rise, but the thing about all of South Florida sports is it's very much a what have you done for me lately town, and it's also an event town where, you know, even a team like the Miami Heat, you know, it was in the years that have followed since, you know, their championships, their stars dimmed a little bit when you don't have LeBron James, you don't have Dwayne Wade anymore. Yeah, you have guys like Jimmy Butler over there, but it's a very different feeling. And for the Panthers being a team on the rise, you do sense those guys, you know, stars growing, like you said, Ekblad, you know, Huberto, Barkov, they're on the rise. But in order for them to, you know, reach the levels they need to reach, where suddenly they're, you know, talked about throughout the entire region, they got to win something. They got to win a playoff round. They got to make some noise. And that definitely looks like that could happen this season. But I think really, you know, Barkov is that main guy where, you know, down here in particular with a lot of fans that maybe, you know, aren't familiar with hockey as they are up in Alberta, you just need them to learn one name, one guy. So if a fan can go out there and, you know, see that Barkov deal, then watch him on the ice and see how good he is. If they can just say, I want to go see Alexander Barkov, that gets him in the building and that gets him to learn, you know, everyone else. So Barkov, I think in particular, is very much that entry point superstar that can get a lot of fans in down here into hockey.
So you talk about winning a playoff series and how big that would be. Now, I guess it's kind of a twofold question. Obviously, the Ekblad factor is going to be huge here when he with him back in the lineup, as well as the Sam Reinhart addition. That's a huge depth move where you're really providing quality down the lineup. Do you think those are big enough to maybe get them over the hump and, you know, maybe they can beat a team like Tampa in a round of the playoffs? Maybe they can beat a team like Boston, Toronto, whoever they end up getting matched against. Do you think those two additions to the lineup, if healthy, are enough for Florida to get through?
I do. When you look at last season, you know, fourth best record in the league during the regular season, I think they gave the Lightning their best test in the playoffs, a bounce here or there, and the Panthers maybe could have come away with that series. They definitely felt that way with how well they were playing. And I think the biggest thing when you look at, you know, the bigger picture of particularly the Atlantic Division, is the Panthers really didn't lose much this offseason. Instead, they added two big pieces in particular, like Sam Reinhart, you said, you know, that's the Panthers' top line right winger right now, a guy that can easily score 30 goals this season. He's also on the top power play unit. And then you add Joe Thornton, who, you know, came here because he wants to win a Stanley Cup and he thinks this team can get it done. You know, tonight it looks like he's going to be the fourth line center. And that just shows you how deep this team is when you guys got like Joe Thornton, you know, Anthony Duclair on the fourth line. So this team was already, you know, on such a great trajectory last season. I think that, you know, adding those two pieces really does, you know, maybe put them over the hump this year, because you look around the rest of the division and most other teams lost a lot of guys this offseason. You look at the Lightning, they lost an entire line plus more. They lost, you know, Goodrow, Coleman, Gore, Johnson, the list goes on. You look at the Bruins, they lost Krejci. You know, Tuukka's a little up in the air right now. Anywhere you look, a lot of teams in the division lost some important pieces. But you look at the Panthers and it seems like they did a lot more adding than subtracting this offseason. So given how well last year went, given how, you know, the entire offseason went for, you know, every team in the division plus the Panthers, I think there's no reason to think they can't, you know, go deeper than they did this past season.
Well, right there, that's a pretty good sell job. I really wasn't that sold on Florida. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I looked at it from multiple ways. I still don't think Tampa got that much worse. I love the Perry addition. I still feel like they've got some of the best young talent up and coming that can fill those third and fourth line roles, but Boston, I'm not that high on them. Toronto, their goaltending got worse, in my opinion, and didn't get better, and they're probably going to have to move something at the deadline. So maybe Florida does go a little bit further than I give them credit for. Now I want to ask the big question, is the goaltending good enough? Because Bobrovsky starts opening night. He's your $10 million guy. Is he the goaltender of the playoffs? If you're going to go on a 2-3 round run, is he your guy? Or is Spencer Knight ready to take that step?
I think that's a question that doesn't need to be figured out, you know, game one. And I think that's how the Panthers are kind of taking that approach. You know, Bobrovsky, obviously, better last year than he was during his first season with the Panthers, got that save percentage up to .906. I think if he can get it above .910, the Panthers will be super happy and they'll be in a position to win every night with how many goals they're going to score. And then you look at Spencer Knight, you know, just, you know, all world, you know, in those first four games he played during the regular season last year, and then just under the bright lights of the playoffs, you know, just as outstanding against the Lightning in the two games he got in. So both guys, you know, definitely coming to the season with a lot of potential, but I think we saw kind of the blueprint last year with how the Panthers handled Sergei Bobrovsky and Chris Driedger, and that's, you know, both guys are going to get an opportunity, but if a certain guy gets hot, they're just going to roll with it. So obviously, Bobrovsky's starting game one tonight. I'm sure if he has a great game tonight, he's going to be the guy going forward. Spence will obviously get in, you know, when they need him, but they've proven before they're a team where the best player plays no matter what, and that includes goaltending. So I see a lot of hot hand rotting this year, but given how good both can be, you got to think at least one, if not both, those guys have great years, which will then put the Panthers in a great position.
Jameson, all of my guests, digital content manager for the Florida Panthers, also the beat writer. I know he's done stuff for the past, podcasting, esports. We'll get into some of that in a minute or so, but I want to ask, and I'm not sure how much you've really looked at Olympic predictions or anything like that. My hot take going out on a limb is I think Spencer Knight could be the third goaltender of the American team. Now, you've obviously watched him more than I have this year. How's he looking? Do you think I'm crazy to say that he could be the third best American goaltender in the world right now?
I don't think it's crazy at all, and I've been thinking for a while now, especially since he, you know, was so great during that championship game of the World Juniors, helping USA get that gold medal against Canada. That, you know,
we don't talk about that third guy.
Yeah,
we don't talk about that
exactly. Why not bring him as the third guy? Why not kind of give him that Jonathan Quick treatment, where you don't expect him to play, but you want him there. You want him to be the young guy. You want him to learn the experience. So 4 years later, he can be the guy. So there's definitely a chance there. He's got the talent, and obviously Team USA, like I said, especially, not to say it again, after that World Juniors gold medal game, they're obviously so high on him. They obviously look at him as the goaltender of the future, the goaltender long term. So, you know, why not get started on that? And he has looked great in the preseason. He looked great, you know, in the rookie tournament before training camp. But I think during the preseason, the save percentage was something like .925 in three appearances. So he's looked just as good this year as he did last year. And for Team USA, that's got to be exciting.
I love it. I think we're on the same mindset there. Now, I'd be reminiscent if I didn't ask about the Tampa rivalry as well. Like, how big is that getting with Florida Panthers fans? Obviously, you're interacting with them a lot more than I am. But is this getting to the point now where when Tampa Bay is going to Sunrise, is that building going to be packed? Is it going to be sold out? Is it going to get heated? Like, I want to know what the buzz is around there now that you've got one of the, if not the best rivalry in the NHL in Florida.
It's getting huge, and fans down here are really, really getting into it. That playoff series obviously had a lot to do with that. You know, the vitriol, you know, hate among fans on Twitter. You know, it's lighthearted, it's playful, but it's there. It seems like no matter who we're playing any night, fans are still yelling at Lightning fans and vice versa every single night on Twitter. So It's definitely there among the fans, the players as well. I mean, we saw it during the preseason when they had, I think it was almost 100 penalty minutes in their first preseason game. That just doesn't happen, you know, anywhere else in the NHL. These two teams, there's a lot of bad blood, a lot of familiar faces from carrying over from last season till now. And it's just going to get, you know, bigger and better, you know, the more these two teams fight for positioning in the Atlantic Division. But the crazy thing is, the Panthers go to Tampa the third game of the regular season. The Panthers don't actually welcome the Lightning to BB&T Center until like late December. So it's going to be interesting to see where both teams are by that time. If it is maybe a 1-2 matchup in the division, I expect that game to maybe be the biggest game of the season up until that point, because the fans, yes, they want to beat everyone every single night down here, but they want to beat the Lightning more than anyone. And I think that rivalry is so good for hockey. And I think it's so good that any time these two teams play, it seems like everyone nationally is also talking about the games because there's always some great highlights. I think that's, you know, for the NHL as a whole, a really good thing to have the Panthers and Lightning kind of where they are right now in terms of their rivalry.
That's interesting. I didn't know about the whole scheduling thing, but maybe that will mean that it ramps up down the stretch. Could be good for playoff attendances, stuff like that, when the games get a little bit more meaningful. Now, I got a couple more quick ones for you. I know I've kept you for a while here, but one of the interesting offseason stories, and I know it actually broke, it was making a lot of news up here, is with the whole NIL deals for college football. Derek King was the first college football player to sign one in Florida. Have you seen, I guess, kind of the impact of that? Obviously, he's a huge name in the college football world. It sucks Miami isn't good this year. Well, they're not great. But again, like, do fans get behind that? Is it as big of a deal as they made it seem to be? I don't know. I'm interested. Like, what's his involvement with the team? You know better than anyone.
Well, this is a brand new thing. The Panthers are the first team to do this in professional sports. So I think it's definitely kind of it's uncharted territory. So anything the team does with the Eric is kind of a first-time thing. And I think that's what makes it exciting. You got to find out what works, what doesn't work, you know, where to really capitalize on this partnership and things like that. And the deal was signed a while ago, but we are still, you know, just getting started here in the season. But, you know, he's going to be around. He's going to be supporting the team. You know, there's going to be some merchandise opportunities, things like that. So I really don't think we're going to see, you know, where this, you know, goes and how really we can grade, you know, this first year of this until, you know, a couple months, maybe a whole year from now, to kind of look back and see what came of it. But even the other day when the Panthers posted on Instagram, like they're kind of like the season gets started tomorrow post, Derek was right there, you know, in the comment section cheering the team on, and fans were liking it and getting in on that. So that was very cool to see. I think it's a very unique thing. I'm excited to see where in general NIL goes in the future, because obviously it's a whole can of worms where a lot of teams and a lot of athletes can really benefit. So far I had a chance to meet Derek. He loves hockey. He said he wants to get on skates eventually. I know a lot of fans on here think it's a cool collaboration, but we're not going to really see, you know, the true results of all of this, like I said, for a couple months at least.
That's awesome. It is something that's so unique, right? We don't have that type of college sports up here. I mean, our university college sports are tiny. We don't even have a second fiddle sport unless you're in Toronto. I mean, like the CFL, it's big, but I mean, it's still minuscule compared to college football. So all we have is hockey, and they don't really have those collaboration opportunities. So I thought that was really cool on the Florida Panthers perspective. And I mean, obviously you don't hope for King there that he's able to maybe get an NFL career started, or at least have a solid finish to his college career. I got one more about, and that's about esports. I know you're big into that. Talk me, and we're getting in the comments as well. I guess Florida's huge or big into gaming and stuff. What do you guys got going on down there? What's made esports take off in a market like Florida versus others?
I think it's you say take off, but I think still think it is still kind of very in the infantile stages. I think a lot of teams have been dipping their toe in the water, especially during COVID when everyone was kind of stuck at home playing video games. And I think some of the teams that have done really well, you look at the Capitals, they have a whole monumental esports, you know, department with their NBA 2K team and their Caps Gaming. You look at, you know, what the Columbus Blue Jackets have done. They've really got sponsors involved and have been able to do a bunch of, you know, high priced tournaments. I think for us, we're kind of, you know, still more at the granular level. We just want to use it to connect with fans. We want to put on tournaments for fans. And we basically just want to use it as a really nice entry point to the Panthers and hockey as a whole, because I know, especially, you know, in a non-traditional market like Florida, where sometimes it can be hard to, you know, get ice time or get to the rink, there's no easier way to learn every player in the NHL or learn the rules of hockey than playing an NHL video game, especially, you know, EA NHL. Over the years, I've known a ton of people that, you know, pick up the game, play it a couple times at a friend's house and then say, oh, like, I want to go to a game now. So I do think it's a really great, cheap, affordable entry point for people to fall in love with the game of hockey. And I think as an organization, we just kind of want to, you know, help, you know, water those seeds a bit, help those plants grow into potential future fans and gamers. And we also noticed, too, there's just a huge crossover between sports fans and gamers. You know, if you love gaming, you probably love sports. If you love sports, you probably love gaming. So every day is a new day. We're working on a couple of things right now. I think we're going to have some mini tournaments coming up here as the season rolls along. And of course, NHL 22 is coming out tomorrow. So we're going to be doing some code giveaways on our Twitter account at Athlete Panthers Game. I really believe in it. I really think that's a great area for any sports organization to have, is to kind of have that esports arm. But it is very new, and I'm kind of excited to see where it goes in the future.
So how good of a gamer are you? Are you unreal or what?
Yeah, it depends on what we're playing. It depends on what we're playing. In terms of NHL, I consider myself above average. I could beat the average Joe, but I'm not going to beat a pro. I got to play with Huberto and Barkov a while ago, and I think I held my own. Although Hubie's very good. Hubie's got some skills in NHL. Stick tap to him, but I think I'm pretty good at NHL. Other games, it kind of depends. Honestly, with hockey season, I'm kind of, my usual gaming is just maybe picking up a Nintendo Switch for 30 minutes and playing Mario and then getting back to work. So right now with NHL 22 coming out, I got to get back on the grind. I'm going to have to do some streaming on our Panthers Twitch channel, twitch.tv/FLAPanthers. So at the start of something new, I got to get back in it.
Okay, so the last NHL game I bought was, I think, 2010, I want to say it. And it was like the original Xbox. How bad do you think you could beat me? I don't know. It's probably been 10 years since I've picked up a controller. What's the score, James?
If you haven't picked up in 10 years, it would probably be a bloodbath. I got to be honest.
Give me a score.
The NHL is one of those pretty – it's a pretty unforgiving game where if you're playing against someone that knows what they're doing versus someone that doesn't.
So you're pretty good.
The learning curve is pretty steep.
Jameson, you're awesome, Matt. I appreciate you doing this. This was fun. We're going to have to touch base before the Florida Panthers win the cup again. So maybe before playoffs, we'll get you on. Enjoy the home opener. I hope Pittsburgh doesn't absolutely run you guys out of the building like they did those bums in Tampa. So I hope it's a fun time.
They used up all their goals last game, hopefully. Hopefully that was all they got.
There you go. Enjoy it, and thank you so much for hopping on.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Jameson Olive right there joining us on World Hockey Report. That was a fun conversation. That guy's awesome. Just as you guys are getting dusted 100%. He's a Pens fan. He's in the chat. No mercy there. Is it going to be another slaughter for Pittsburgh? I can't see it. No chance Florida loses. No chance. Moneyline, Panthers, hammer it. Bobrovsky, he's got to earn his dough now. They got Reinhardt. They got Ekblad. He's healthy. They got Barkov to a new deal. I don't see it happening. It's Cody Jansen with you. We're live from the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios. Beautiful Alberta. Follow me on Twitter at Janner31_ and the show at World Hockey RPT. Join the conversation right now. When we come back from commercial, I want to see four questions in there that we'll get to. Give me four questions. We'll talk about it. We'll get on the open line. Maybe we'll take some calls. Maybe we'll talk Oilers. That's all coming up. We'll talk to you in a quick timeout.
What we do here is go back.
Let's get those comments going. Join the conversation anytime. It's World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. Find a store near you at lordco.com. We're coming to you live from the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios. And yes, it's open line, so we want to hear from you. Join the conversation anytime. We've got Adam on the line to break down the Oilers' win from last night. We've got some questions that are rolling in slowly. We will, do they throw rats in Sunrise still? I don't think so. Adam, though, I got to ask you about the game. Kyle Turris scores the game winner. Mike Smith, yeah, he lets in a bad second goal, but other than that, he was great. I mean, he still stopped 36 out of 38. They pick up a win against Vancouver, maybe a little closer than they would have liked, but give me your general thoughts on the game last night.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was definitely an opening night game. Like, you kind of had the buzz of the crowd, which was just unreal to see. But for the game itself, I mean, there's like four shots in the first like 10 minutes or so. And, there wasn't a lot doing, obviously. You could kind of tell Pettersson had missed training camp, and, Connor Garland for Vancouver is doing his thing. For Edmonton, McDavid and Drysdale didn't really get much going all night. I thought the Hyman, Yamamoto, Nugent Hopkins line was your best line. And yeah, I mean, I definitely thought it was a 2-2 game, like tied after 60, shots were tied, kind of everything across the board was tied. Just Edmonton wins the skills competition at the end. And obviously there's the 10-minute overtime talk.
Would you rather have seen 10 minutes of 3-on-3? I'm still not convinced that's the way to go.
Yeah, like, I mean, for the most, like, I'm like kind of 70-30 on that. Like, I'm like, yeah, like, I'd like to see it, but there's times where you see two shots in overtime because guys are just circling back, you know, taking the puck outside of the zone. Like, the overtime yesterday wasn't that spectacular, I didn't think, for what it should be. And for three guys, you know, it's a big possession thing and turns into a bit of a soccer match. But, I'd be more in favor of it because the shootout kind of takes any real, I guess, skill or kind of team mentality out of the game. Like, Kyle Turris gets the winner.
Were you shocked that Tyson Barrie went in the shootout? And not just went, he tried a deke.
Yeah, well, he scored against the Kraken in the preseason. Like, he went in the shootout and scored. So, I mean, I guess, like, that's kind of Tippett using that as, like, a practice for the regular season, how they do those random shootouts in preseason. So, had I not seen that, I would have been, but he had one before, I guess, so.
Interesting. I don't know. You would think, like, a Puljujarvi or someone, because they went Draisaitl, McDavid, Barrie, Turris. Was Turris the next one?
Nugent-Hopkins, Turris. Yeah, Nugent-Hopkins. They both scored.
Fair enough. What was your thoughts on Thatcher Demko? Am I crazy to say that I think he's going to get left off the Olympic roster? I don't know if we talked about this before, but that's still my hot take. I'll stick with it.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's Gibson and Hellebuck that are kind of the locks, but, like, I mean, John Gibson, he was really good last night against Winnipeg, but he hasn't really had stellar numbers. Obviously, he's playing behind a bad team, but who would even be the third American goalie? Like, I mean, if Jonathan Quick has a good start, maybe, but you might be right on that just because, you know, it's Hellebuck and Gibson, and then you kind of have your pick of, what, John Quick, Cal Peterson.
You got Demko or Knight.
Jack Campbell, Knight, like, yeah.
No chance, Jack Campbell. This isn't the 2011 World Juniors.
Yeah, don't remind me.
we'll leave that one out. Hey, I got another one. Darnell Nurse played 32-24 time on ice there. That's just workhorse numbers. No one else in the league can match that. Maybe Seth Jones, but that's incredible numbers for opening night. Like, talk about
night, Seth Jones couldn't have.
I don't know how much you actually watched of Seth Jones. You just like to rip on him because he's unbelievable. But continue. Yeah. Talk about Darnell Nurse.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy because everybody just likes points for defenseman. And he actually had a lot of points yesterday, like last season for a D-man. It's just people see him get 9 million, they go crazy. But if he's on the ice over, like, pretty much half the game, like, that's pretty good value for 9 million bucks. And when he's doing what he's doing with, I don't even know what he had, like, couple blocks, couple hits, chips in with an assist, plays, what, 3 of the 5 minutes in overtime. Like, that's good value for Edmonton. And, I mean, I thought he was really good. Tyson Barrie struggled. The Keith-Cece pairing was good. I mean, everybody wants to rip it, but there is a shift there, I think, at the end of the second where Cece was on the ice with McDavid, and you could tell he just would make a good first pass. Like, McDavid would circle, and Cece knew what to do. He wasn't trying to do too much, but, you know, if he kind of plays within himself, I think he'll be fine. But, yeah, for Nurse, I mean, what an advantage for Edmonton. And his trajectory of where he started and where he just, like, continues to climb this, you know, upwards incline of how he improves. And you see the stories about how he rewatches every game and is looking at all the data and all that. Yeah, I mean, pretty incredible for Edmonton to have a leader like that on the back end.
He played 5.5 more minutes than anyone else in the game, Adam. That's like terrible math here right now. That's like 1/12 of the game, I think. I don't know what that is in a percentage, but that's like, you know, 8-10% more than anyone else. That's a lot of ice time. That's, I don't know, in 30-second, 45-second shifts, that's like 6-7 extra shifts that he took compared to anyone else in the game. And it's the opening night of the regular season. You got all that adrenaline, all that emotion at home. I think that's phenomenal. This guy continues to get better. And we used to rag on him. I did not expect this type of progression from Darnell Nurse, but he is proving everyone wrong, and I love that. Any thoughts on Quinn Hughes? Did you get to watch much of him? He played 27 minutes. He led the Canucks in ice time. He looked good out there. He scored a goal as well. Maybe not the prettiest one you'll ever see, but I think from a puck-moving defenseman standpoint, I'd say he's not that far off from an Adam Fox.
No, I think they just, like, in Vancouver, like, the Puljujarvi goal, like, he got beat pretty bad by McDavid and Draisaitl, and, I mean, who wouldn't at that point? But at the same time, I mean, I think people keep underestimating the impact that Chris Tanev had on him. I mean, you know, with Hughes now, you're figuring out like Tyler Myers or Tucker Pool. And then I mean, it's difficult. I mean, he's a really good talent. It's just that if you have him or Tyler Myers on the ice, whose side are you going down? Probably his, because he's a foot shorter than him and, you know, 100-pound slider. So I think he's going to get picked on a little bit just because of where he is. And I mean, the lack of depth Vancouver has on the back end, especially after him and Ekman Larson. So really good with the puck. I mean, I still have my reserves of him without the puck, more so just because Vancouver needs to find him the right partner, which they haven't done yet.
So Dylan wants to know on Twitter, guys, thoughts on the Landeskog hit. Adam, you tweeted this one out. I think it's dirty. I mean, you said it's a piece of shit play, and I fully agree with that. Like, that's just unnecessary. That's taking advantage of someone in a vulnerable situation, and it should probably land you 5 games. That's my thought. That's a 5-gamer, especially for someone who does have a history.
Yeah, I mean, if Doc lays on the ice, and this is like where the ticky-tack stuff starts, like if Doc lays on the ice there, it's a 5-game suspension. Landeskog gets kicked out and this whole thing. But I mean, Doc's pretty much on a knee. He tripped or whatever. He kind of went down to a knee to get the puck out, and he just gets buried from behind. It's not even like Landeskog got in the front. Like, it was more so back shoulder. And I mean, that's the dangerous play in hockey, is hitting a guy like 5 feet away from the boards with his back turned towards you. And not only did Landeskog do that, he did it when the guy was on a knee. So, I mean, probably even worse. And yeah, that's a terrible play, terrible hit. Yeah.
Dev wants to know, who wins more games this year, the Sabres or the Bills?
I think the Sabres hit 20, 25. So,
Boston's going to get the second spot there. Do you think that they're going to be in the second spot if Tampa finishes first? Or are you convinced that Florida's going to finish first in the Atlantic, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, like, we're not going to have overreaction Monday here after that Tampa game. But
Oh yes, my God, we are.
They were 3 steps behind that whole game. I think everybody in there and their mom had them on the Tampa puck line. But look, the main word coming out of all the insiders and stuff is that they don't really care where they finish. You know, they'll use this to figure out their third line and the guys they lost and where everybody slides in. But I don't think they're overly concerned about winning any president's trophies or stuff like that. You know, they'll do their thing. They'll try hard. But I mean, it's not like they're going to be going balls to the wall every night, I guess you could say.
Caleb says, go watch soccer. I don't think he's happy with our Landeskog take there. I don't know. I just think that's an unnecessary hit. That doesn't add anything to the game. It's just a cheap shot that leads to star players.
The guy's on a knee, yeah.
It's just unnecessary.
The guy's on a knee dumping the puck in.
Yeah, I don't know. That's like, questionable. It's not Claude Lemieux level, but come on. It's still something where the NHL, this is way more dangerous than a cross check in front of the net.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing that I think upsets me about that play is it's in the neutral zone. Like, there's no, it's not like you're saving a goal or making a play to score a goal. You're literally hitting a guy who dumped the puck in and was going to go change.
What do you think the suspension's going to be?
Probably a game or two. Like, I mean, Doc wasn't hurt, and that seems to be the be-all end-all of this whole thing. But it should be a suspension or a fine. Like, if Blake Coleman got 2 games, I guess one was preseason, but 2 games for his hit on, who is it, Dubois, when he cross-checked him in the face, I'd assume this is at least 1 or 2.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I guess Darren Pang went and defended it or something. Everyone was kind of losing their mind. Again, that's neither here nor there. I think everyone can see it's a dirty hit, and it should be taken care of. I mean, I guess Seth Jones isn't much of a fighter, but someone should be going and carving in Landeskog's teeth. Don't you think? Is that not the time where big players like Ryan Reeves have an impact on the game? Where if Chicago had Ryan Reeves on their team, Landeskog doesn't make that hit.
Yeah, I mean, the closest guy to him was like Tyler Johnson or something like that. So definitely, if there's more retro, I don't think Landeskog's scared of anyone, but at the same time, like, he knows that he's the biggest guy on the ice in the home opener, and that's that.
What was your thoughts? Did you get to catch any of TNT or ESPN, their broadcasts?
Yeah, I mean, the ESPN one, that friggin' sky cam, man. Like, I don't know what they were trying. Like, I hate it in football. Football's like where it kind of makes sense. You know, you get the overhead to see the whole field. But in hockey is just a way to get people further away from the play. Like this guy did absolutely nothing. The one goal in the Pittsburgh Tampa game, it was caught on the sky cam and only the sky cam. So it's like, I don't know. You can't see the puck. It's worse quality. You're further away. It's moving around so much. And I don't know. That was pretty annoying, but like the ESPN broadcast was cool. I mean, it's pretty cool to see it on ESPN and see like the biggest multimedia sports company, I guess, in the world have hockey back. And the TNT one was cool. I mean, the Barkley and Gretzky stuff was great. I thought the ESPN, the Pittsburgh Tampa game was cool because they had Emily Kaplan in between the bench, kind of as like a sideline reporter, which was pretty cool. And then I think in hockey, the three-man booth never works because they had, I believe it was AJ Maleshko, John Buchigross, and Brian Boucher for the Vegas Seattle game, and I don't think that worked. They talked over each other a couple times, and maybe it's a chemistry thing, but I don't think you need two extra sets of eyes for hockey.
Yeah, it's a questionable one there. Also in the comments, we got bringing an over and back rule with the center ice 3-on-3. It's interesting.
I like that. Yeah,
wouldn't it be hard to officiate? Kind of, it's kind of an extra offside. Maybe it makes sense. I'm sure there's some technicality. Maybe they just try it out in the minor leagues, put it in the coast for a year and see how that works. Kellen chimes in and says, Skycam, the greatest legacy of 06 NFL. OG NFL? 06? OG NFL.
Like, I get.
I mean, probably a video.
Long time ago.
Probably, yeah, I think that's OG, actually. I think I might have messed that one up. The Skycam is cool, especially when it's behind the quarterback. I love seeing that. Hey, yeah. We got a big game 5 in the MLB today. You gonna watch it? Who's your prediction? Dodgers, Giants?
I want to say Giants because I think they're just the team of destiny. Like, I mean, nobody really expected them to be good for 3 years, and sure enough, they just took a year off, and now they won 100 games or whatever. So, I'm gonna go Giants just because, like, they're like the Red Sox of the NL, I guess.
I saw St. Louis just gassed their coach or manager or whatever. And didn't they have a sick season? They won like 107 games.
St. Louis did.
Didn't they?
I didn't see that. They made the wild card game.
Oh, okay. Oh, maybe it was San Fran then. That won 107. Maybe I got them mixed up. Okay, I'm going to rapid fire here. I'll send you off some games tonight. Give me a final score. I was one goal off with 3-2 Oilers yesterday, so I'll probably predict it close to right, but you can give me your thoughts. Habs and Sabres.
4-2 Montreal.
Leafs and Sens.
5-4 Leafs. Brady Tkachuk has two. I think he's playing two goals for him.
No, he's not playing tonight.
Oh, never mind. Okay.
Good one.
5-2 Leafs.
Did you like that Tkachuk deal? I guess I didn't ask you about it.
Yeah, it's a good deal. Like, I mean, there's a bit of an Ottawa tax on it, and he's not better than Svechnikov, and he got like $500 more. So
Brady Tkachuk's a unicorn. Svechnikov's a skilled player. There's millions of skilled players out there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not big into the $8.2 million for a guy who's like a 30 goal guy. I think there's. But, I mean, you had to keep him. He's your captain this side. He is the unicorn, as you said. But, you know, when it's all said and done, like, that'd be a great deal for a team like the Islanders because they're just always missing something where it's like, okay, he's not the star to put you over, but that's a lot of money to have. And
I think six, seven years down the road, this could be a heck of a deal. Okay, quickly, we've got a minute here. Stars, Rangers.
Let's go Stars. 3-1.
Yeah, the regs are
Braden
overrated.
Hall be their starter.
Pens, Panthers.
Florida, 4-1.
I agree they should win. It would be funny, though, if the Pens went and just slapped them around, started off 2-0 with a couple of big wins. Isles and Hurricanes.
Oh, 2-1 Isles.
I think you can get good value on the Isles in this game, too. I didn't place any bets yet today. Yotes, Blue Jackets.
God.
Pass
4-3 Columbus and a 17 round shootout.
No one watches that one. Lightning Red Wings.
Let's go 4-0 Tampa.
Seattle Nashville.
4-3 Seattle.
Vegas LA. You got 5 seconds.
2-1 Vegas.
Love it. Low scoring. That's going to do it for me, Adam Urbentrout, as well our social media manager, Eric Krause, lead producer, Bryce Buns, Jeff back at the 12-Ounce Sports Studios. Until next week, everyone. Hey, we got a great show, actually. We got Tucker Sargent lined up. We'll talk some college hockey. That'll be fun. That's coming up on Tuesday. I don't want you to miss it. Join me then. Back here. Have a great weekend. Same time, same place, everyone. Be kind. Be better.